Hi, this is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode number 10. Double digits, huh? As I've recorded on my MacBook Pro using Soundtrack Pro and the Mac's built-in microphone. To those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that what I talk about here is my opinion from my experience and with guitars, amps, effects, and so on. It's just my opinion, folks. Please chime in with comments and questions to my email at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Today we're going to talk about a variety of things, mainly amps, tube amps, what I'm looking for in an amp whenever I go out shopping for an amp, or just kind of browsing, or just, you know, I'm not really going to buy an amp because, you know, if I show up at home with a $2,000 amp and my wife will, she'll know. She'll be like, that amp wasn't like $100, Lauren. I know something's up. I'm not very happy about this. And anyway, oh, and by the way, happy Father's Day to everybody out there, all the fathers, all the dads. Well, it's Father's Day at like 10 p.m. as I'm recording this, so I guess I'm a little late. But anyway, generally, what I'm looking for in a guitar amp, I pretty much will not look at or listen to, or I just pass right by solid-state amps. If the power section of an amp is solid state, I won't touch it. If the preamp, if it's one of those hybrid amps that has the power section is tube, but the preamp section is solid state, I'm still not messing with that. However, if the rectifier is solid state, that's okay. I can live with that. Some of my favorite amps have solid state rectifiers. Although one of my amps has a tube rectifier, I think it's a 5Y3 or something like that, tube that rectifies the power. But the key here is tube amps only. You know, if you're starting out and you are in a budget and you want to stay under $300 for your amp or whatever, I completely understand buying a solid state amp. I don't blame you at all. I would encourage you to only buy a solid state amp if that's your budget. However, if you look on the used market, you can find used tube amps, and I think Fender's Blues Junior, I think that thing is right around $300. Maybe, I'm not sure, I'll have to dig into that, or you can go on Musician's Friend or Elderly Instrument or something like that. You can Google it and find out, but I'm sure you can find one of those on eBay for in that price range, and it's a tube amp. Takes pedals well, gets plenty loud. You know, if you're on a budget, I guess I should still say, yeah, you could still go with tube amp on a budget. Basically, other than being a tube amp, I like amps that do one thing and do one thing well. They do that thing well, kind of like GMC trucks. All GMC does is make trucks. You know, big trucks, medium-sized trucks. They do that. They don't try to do sports cars or sedans or luxury cars or anything like that. That's their motto there. So whenever I'm looking at, say, a Marshall amp, whether it's a JCM 800 or a 900, I look for the single channel amp. I don't want an amp that has three channels, a bunch of switches on it and stuff. I mean, there are amps out there that are great and they do all that. And I mean, they have all these switches and on them and multi-channels and Bogner, for instance. Great amp. If you want one amp that does it all and are willing to spend a lot of money on one, that's a great amp. Especially if you can be right next to it, its switching system. If you can have that there, that's great. Where I play, I don't have that luxury. My pedal board, my guitar signal goes from my guitar to my pedal board into a direct box, which goes into the floor of the stage, into the stage's snake, backstage to an isolation booth where the cable comes out again into another direct box that converts the signal so that my amp takes it and it goes into my amp. So I can't run a cable switching system from my amp, you know, 30 feet or 50 feet, however far it is from that amp to where I'm standing on stage. So that just doesn't work for me. But if you're a studio musician, yeah, Bogner would be great. You know, tweak it, get it just right. But for me, I want to keep things fairly simple when it comes to an amp. I want to know that it does what it does really well. You know, I'm looking for good mid-range bark, how far you have to push it to get it to overdrive or to start clipping on its own, whether it's the preamp section or if the power tubes start to really get that sweet hum. And also, how does it clean up? If, you know, you get it to that sweet spot where you hit it really hard, it breaks up real nice. But if you pick soft, it cleans up a bit. And if you roll your volume back on your guitar to about 7 or 8, right around there, that it and you pick soft, or even if you're picking just normal, that it cleans up a bit too. And you have to have kind of a decent guitar at that point too. But those are kind of the things that I try to look for in an amp. Now, something I really like about a single channel JCM 900 from the early 90s, like 92, 93, is that I think I can get a nice JTM, a cleaner JTM 45 sound out of it, and then crank it up a little more and kind of get an overdriven Plexi sound out of it, and then drive it even further and do what they always touted those as being able to do, is that they were, I think their slogan for those amps was, it was hot rotted right from the factory, hot rotted right out of the box. So that you could get that over-the-top saturated tube tone, you basically take your head off. Not quite the death metal type SLX version with the extra tube and more clipping diodes and such inside of it, but you know, that's just a little too far for me. So I stick to the single channel Marshalls. I know Tom Morello uses a two channel JCM 800, and that's fine. He sounds great. He's an amazing guitar player, probably the biggest innovator of guitars from the early 90s. Like I said, I put him up there with Jimi Hendrix, and he's just amazing. I was just watching some videos of his this weekend, of him just talking about his pedal board and his setup and how he comes up with sounds and everything. He's just so amazing. You know, that to each their own. One of my favorite guitar stores, the owner there, he likes the two channel Marshalls better than the singles. I mean, it just depends on what camp you come from. Some guys say I only like the 50 watt Marshalls. Others say they like the 100 watt Marshalls. You know, there's only 3 dB difference between a 50 watt and a 100 watt. It's only 3 dB louder for the 100 watt. You know, something else I like to look for is, you might take a pedal along with you. I mean, if you're seriously amp shopping, you know, take a pedal that you know is really good, that works well with a lot of amps. I'd say like the Full Tone OCD. I think you can do a lot with that pedal. It's a production pedal, but it's a true bypass pedal. Does overdrive and distortion really well, and clean boost and treble boost. It's just a really good all around type of a pedal. And plug it in and see how the amp takes that pedal. Played on a few Dr. Z's, and they are great sounding amps. I borrowed a friend's Carmen Ghia and ran it through a Marshall 410 cabinet, and it sounded great. And I hit it with a couple pedals, and it did okay. It liked those. I didn't hit it with a ton of pedals. I just like, hey, you know, this is good. But my understanding is that most Dr. Z's are kind of finicky about how they like to play with other pedals. They're very picky about what pedals they want. They like to play with. Just like a couple episodes ago, I was talking about how I bought some pedals off a friend of mine, and he was like, "Man, he heard them through my Marshall. He was amazed. He said I could never get him to do that with my Dr. Z." Now, and I'm not putting down a Dr. Z. Those are awesome amps. I'd love to have a handful. I think they just came out with a new one called the Remedy. Blows my mind. I'd love to get one of those. But, you know, some amps take pedals better than others. I think your standard, your typical AC30, Vox AC30 or AC15, in the mold of the 60s type AC30 and AC15, I think they have a Korean version of those that have cheaper parts in them and such. But if you get the one that costs a little bit extra, I think they're like $1,200 new, something like that. I think those would take pedals really well. I think the British amps in general take pedals well. I think most of your Fender amps, the clean channels, will take pedals really well. I'm not a big fan of the distortion side of, say, the blues series of Fender amps they came out with in the late 90s and this last decade. I'd run it with the clean channel and push it till it kind of starts to break up on its own without that preamp engaged. I think if it gets there with you cranking it up, then that's the way to go, or hit it with some pedals. Fender Hot Rod series, those are really cool amps and everything, but it's the distortion side just doesn't quite get it for me. But, you know, all those Fender tube amps are all tube. The little Fender Champion, that's a really cool amp. You know, if you don't want to spend a lot of money, you want to get one that put some nice tubes in it, replace the tubes in it right off the bat. Put nice tubes in it, and you might take it to a tech to go through and see what they would recommend about upgrading certain parts here and there. It would improve its sound too. But those things, those amps are probably, I mean, still, right out of the box, they'll sound really good. You know, generally, those two-channel amps, just use the clean channel and start pushing it. Turn up the volume so that the power tubes are starting to really get that creamy distortion. And hit them with treble boosters and overdrives. And if you have decent overdrives that you can cascade, you can get some really, really nice musical tones. That's another thing about an amp, is whenever you plug into it at a store, if you can turn it up and really, you know, turn it up loud, have it medium level, soft, low volume, try to see how it reacts to all that. And I know we all want to show off how fast we are, or I can do this really cool blues lick, or this sweeping arpeggio, or whatever. Everybody in there is really pretty good anyway. You're not really impressing anybody unless you're Eric Clapton, or Yngwie Malmsteen, or Tom Morello, or somebody, you know, you're not there to show off, you're there to check out amps. Anyway, I mean, that's just me. I just get aggravated. People sit in there and they're showing off. Whenever I'm checking out an amp, I try to see what it sounds like at varying different volumes, and how different notes and different areas on the neck sound. If I can hit that sweet spot where if I pick softly, it's going to sound kind of clean, the nice chime, nice musical tone, and if I hit it harder, is it going to start breaking up and get that kind of early 70s AC/DC kind of a start to get that grind going? And then if I roll, or if it naturally hits that, if I roll back the volume on my guitar, what's it going to do there? Is it going to clean up and still have that sparkle? You know, what are different notes anywhere on the neck? Chords different places on the neck. What are they going to sound like? Is the amp musical? Or, I mean, does it have a lot of dynamics? How does it sound harmonically? When you hit one note, do you just hear a note? Or do you hear other things happening that are nice and pleasing to the ear? Or are they other things that are happening that are kind of mechanical or sterile? I want the amp to sound, I want to hear the wood in the amp. I don't know, I can't really describe it better than that. Some people may call that bark, but I would call it, you know, kind of like a dog barks, but It needs a woody tone, kind of like it sounds more natural or organic, not sterile and metallic or, I mean, nothing. I mean, even if I was playing metal, I'd want it to have that organic feel. When I listen to Metallica from the late 80s, it sounds organic. They're using Mesa Boogies and high rotted Marshalls, and they sound great. And they had great metal tone, the best metal tone I think ever. Probably. They set the standard, and I think every metal band has to live up to from then on. That's just me. That was my era of coming of age, the mid-late 80s. Anyway, that's kind of what I look for in a tube amp, in a good amp. I don't care what the wattage is, if it's a little 15-watt or 13-watt or 30 or 50 or 40, 80, 75. You know, in anything over 100 watts, I mean, what's the point? I really don't get that. But most clubs you play in, they'll want to mic your amp. You know, so it's nice to have a lower wattage amp so that you can push it and it's not going to be blowing everybody out of the room. You're not going to be driving customers out of the club, but you can push the amp really well. You're not going to make your singer mad. It's a bad thing. You know, singers singing louder and louder, and their voices are getting, you know, rougher and rougher. And if the singer doesn't sound good, the band doesn't sound good. If the singer's not happy, nobody in the band is happy. So anyway, you know, it's kind of like if mama ain't happy, well, it's kind of the way the singers are too. I would certainly advise people to use, unless you're playing venues where you're playing in front of 1,000 people or more or whatever, you know, or you can use an isolation booth with your amp. If you have that luxury, by all means, get a 50 watt or up, you know, amp and push it. Enjoy. You're lucky. Do it. But, you know, I'd never quite understood why you'd have a 200 watt guitar amp or 300 watt guitar amp. It just never quite, I mean, unless you're not miking it and you need that, kind of like the way they had it in the 60s. I don't know that they mic'd them so much. They used those. They needed all that power to really stand out above everything else that was going on. Now, if it's a bass amp, I totally understand 300 watts for a bass amp. That's a whole nother episode, and I'm not necessarily qualified to discuss that in detail, but I can say I do understand why a bass amp would need to have a lot more wattage behind it than a guitar would. The guitar just needs to hit that good mid-range to really cut through your average rock band's frequency. Because, you know, singers at one frequency, the bass and the drums and piano are different. They have all these different frequencies. But if the guitar is too bassy or it's too trebly, it's not going to really come through. If it's too trebly, it's just going to be annoying. If it's too bassy, it's going to be muddy and go through everything, but it's going to be lost in the background. But if it has a nice mid-range punch, then it's going to stand out and appear louder. And that's kind of why Marshall got that reputation as being so much louder than other amps, is because it had such good mid-range punch. And, well, I think the power rating from England to the United States was different, so that they rated something like 100 watts. Once it got here and it was plugged into our outlets, I think it was pushing like 109 watts or maybe a little more or whatever, so it was just that much louder. And I don't know that at the time Fender was putting out anything that was 100 watts, so they kind of got a reputation there. I think they may have been the only tube amp. I'm not sure. I can't really speak to that. But that is pretty much what I'm looking for when I'm looking at guitar amps. I hope that helped. And I would say, you know, whenever you're looking for that good tone about the brown sound, but, you know, I can't fully define that for you yet, so I just know what good tone is. If it's musical, has good harmonics, has a good mid-range punch, good round low end, solid tight low end, and crisp highs. If you drive it, it starts to break up. If you lighten up your picking, it cleans up. Those are the things I'm looking for. And then if it, you know, responds to pedals well. And now I'm not saying, oh, if I had a Dr. Z and it didn't respond to this pedal, well, I need to get a different amp. No, it's just the pedal. You know, you find the right pedal to work with that amp, because that's a great amp. There's another amp that I would love to, I haven't even played one. I've just seen so many demos with them and read enough about them that I would love to have one. Love to play on one is a 65 amp. They have several different models. Probably the one I know most off the top of my head is a 65 amp Soho. Peter Stroud and I forget the other guy's name. It's so terrible. They came out with their amps, I think in 2005. Basically, they're gearheads and they you know, love amps. They've been around a lot of different kinds of amps and found out what was really good about an amp. Tone-wise, and then the circuitry and power-wise about what would go wrong with them and improve those things. And so they're getting really good amp tone. You could drive them, but a lower wattage is not going to drive Sheryl Crow crazy. Anyway, those amps are really super cool. On that note, I remember watching a concert of Sheryl Crow. It was probably 2006 or so that I was watching this. And I'm like, I love Sheryl Crow music. When she came out in the early 90s, I thought, man, there's something special here. This is really cool. Hope she sticks around. And, well, she's definitely stuck around. She was just so much different than the other bands that were on college radio at the time. And kind of breaking through at that kind of revolution that was happening in the early 90s of in rock music, that it wasn't that carbon copy over and over and over again, same band, same band, same band. It was really opening up to somewhat what we've had, but I think I guess we're going back to that same carbon copy crap. That's why I don't listen to the radio. I remember watching that and going, hey, that fuzzy-haired guy has a really cool tone. And that's beautiful tone. I don't know if he's playing like a Vox AC30 or if he's playing a Marshall 800 or a Marshall Plexi. But I thought, that guy's tone is awesome. And then, you know, years later I find out that, oh, he's playing, he owns 65 amps. That was enough for me to think, you know, there's really something there with that amp company. So I can't wait to play through one myself. I hope I'm not getting too high of expectations about that amp, and then I play on it and I'm like, well, this isn't really what I thought it was going to be. This is really just kind of overpriced junk. But I think I won't. I doubt I'll be disappointed by it. I think I'll be impressed and want one. But I think they're like $3,500. So I hope you got something out of this week's podcast. It's kind of taking what I talked about last week a little bit further. With that, I'm going to wrap up for today's episode. Yeah, we hit 10 double digits. I think that's really cool. I just want to keep this going, having an episode every week. You know, if you think I should do them more often, if I should do them, you know, once a month, or let me know. I'd love to hear feedback. Please give me an email, question or comments or whatever, to info@theguitarpodcast.net, and I'll either reply back via email or on a future show, or just kind of, you know, take what you're saying to me and include that on there, any questions or whatever. Typically, I'm probably not going to use your name unless you say, hey, yeah, you know, say, you know, John Q. Public from Massachusetts wants to know, da-da-da-da-da, you know, that's fine. Let me know. I'd be glad to do it. But for right now, you know, I want to keep your confidentiality. I don't want to start blasting your name across the internet and have you all upset with me. You know, that's not cool. Anyway, I hope you have a great week, and I look forward to episode 11 next week. Not exactly sure what I'm going to talk about, but I have an idea. So this is Lauren Hunt, signing off for the Guitar Podcast.